Today's readings offer essential advice for Christians living in a fallen world. The theme is about putting into practice two of the Ten Commandments, the first and the seventh. One and seven. Remind yourself occasionally over the next few days about one and seven and how they make a difference to your life. If they don't make any difference to your behaviour, something has gone wrong. You need to think carefully about it. And incidentally, thinking carefully about things like that is called repentance. Call it rethinking, turning things around to the way they should be. It's repentance. A reminder of the first and seventh commandments. They are about not worshipping false gods and stealing. So the first commandment says this: you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Now maybe you're thinking, yes, it's okay on that one because, well, here I am at Mass. There's a danger that we can simply get into the habit of being at Mass, ticking a box. The question is, do we completely submit to God in the sense that we recognise that without God, we are absolutely nothing? Are we grateful God created us and this world we live in? Have we rediscovered our childlike sense of awe and wonder in the midst of God's people? You see, the cares of this world can knock us off track. We can end up going through the motions, but not letting the beauty, the mystery, the sheer power of our Mass carry us to a higher plane, to that place where we completely submit to God's will, where we rest, so to speak, in the palm of his hand, are inspired to goodness, to a place where we really mean our prayers. And the problem of lukewarm worship is nothing new. The prophet Amos, we heard from, was warning. He was warning against lukewarm worship 750 years before the birth of Jesus. Israel at that time was experiencing an economic upturn. Growing trade, relative peace, meant Israel was getting quite wealthy. But in the process, people were forgetting about the first commandment. Their faith became lukewarm. As countries get wealthy, they can begin to worship a false god called the economy. And things are likely to go badly wrong. Con merchants, sharp practice, fiddling, cheating everywhere. You can't trust anyone. Think about all those unwanted emails and nuisance phone calls. And all such greedy, grasping behaviour is breaking the seventh commandment: you shall not steal. Something else also happened at the time of Amos, which is equally true today. It was the age-old story of the rich getting richer while the poor get poorer. In fact, then as now, the poor were being exploited by the few rich, with a growing social divide between the rich and the poor. And again, don't make the mistake of thinking, I'm okay, I'm not a thief. The problem is, we are living in a den of thieves called modern society. That's the way it is. All the time, ordinary people are very much the victims of theft, sacrificed on the altar of the false god called the economy. Think zero-hour contracts. Think hungry people at food banks. Think, what am I going to do about it? Another problem is that growing inequality in society seems to go hand in hand with people abandoning God. And the prophet Amos reminds us that the one true God should always be at the very centre of our daily lives. He fearlessly warns, those who are exploiting the poor will be paying a price in the shape of divine judgment. He said, God will never forget a single thing you have done. Amos' words are a timely reminder for us too. As Christians, we cannot simply allow ourselves to passively accept things that are wrong. Neither can we cop out by turning a blind eye to injustice by presuming God will forgive us. That itself is a serious error that the church calls presumption. No, we need to be in the forefront in the fight against worldly sin by doing three things: worshipping God, praying, leading good lives that help the disadvantaged. We've also heard today St. Paul writing to one of his young converts, Timothy. Now, Timothy was Paul's travelling companion. He'd also been ordained, and then he took on the challenging responsibility of being the new pastor in charge of the community of Christians in Ephesus. Paul is writing to Timothy to guide and encourage him in his new work as a Christian leader. If you like, Paul's letter is a very useful guidebook for newly appointed parish priests. I'm sure Father Paul would agree. And in fact, I think he's read it, because I've noticed in the short time since he arrived that often he starts Mass with a reminder of the need for and the power of prayer. 2,000 years ago, being a committed Christian was not an easy option, and it's the same today. Those in charge of the world out there don't like troublesome Christians. An example of the price to be paid for being a Christian is touched on when Paul writes about praying, especially for kings and others in authority. That would have surprised his audience. It doesn't surprise us, but there's something hidden in there they would have immediately noticed. Being a Christian means bravely standing up when serious errors are accepted by society around us. Paul is certainly doing that. The early Christians were living in the pagan Roman Empire, an empire where the emperor himself was worshipped as a god. It may not be obvious to us, but to those early Christians, Paul's words are very much about that first commandment: you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Paul is saying, oh no, you don't. The emperor is not divine. Christians pray for the emperor, not to the emperor. And that idea was certainly pretty brave to say in those times. But the early Christians' faith and commitment to the one true God was certainly not lukewarm, and it was more important to them than towing the line and keeping their heads down. Paul's message is a stark reminder of the personal consequences of living as a Christian. There are places in the world even today where people accept baptism through faith despite knowing that they are risking their lives in proclaiming the truth. Finally, let me mention today's gospel. Paul's role model is Jesus. And did Jesus mince his words? No, he did not. Those listening to Jesus 2,000 years ago would not have needed a fancy theological analysis of what he was saying. They too would have immediately recognized what he was talking about, because Jesus was referring to real events and real people, but without mentioning their names. It would be a bit like me telling a parable. There was a very rich man who owned a supermarket chain. He lounged on his enormous yacht on the Mediterranean whilst his staff were all being made redundant. You know who I'm talking about, don't you? Jesus' parable of the crafty steward deliberately echoes what was a shameful political scandal of his time that was taking place when he preached. The poor were being double-crossed by greedy, scheming bosses. Yes, Jesus was very controversial in his preaching. And elsewhere, Jesus warns us that people will hate us Christians, persecute us for daring to challenge such wrongs. But Jesus bravely challenges these false ideas, because what is happening is plain and simply against God's commandments. In this case, worshipping false gods, stealing by exploitation and injustice. That's Commandments 1 and 7 again. In the Gospel, Jesus is not praising the man's apparent dishonesty. Jesus is congratulating that steward, that crafty steward, for his management skills when he suddenly faces being sacked by his rich boss. He's praising him for being quick-witted. The way the man turns things around, the way the man, if you like, repented in an urgent situation. Jesus then makes the most important point of the story. How ironic it is that such a disgracefully immoral man is so good at knowing how to deal with other shady characters like his rich boss. If only, says Jesus, if only God-fearing, honest people like us would be as quick off the mark to realise how close our own end is and the urgency needed to make sure we're obeying commandments 1 and 7 by repenting and leading upright, honest lives, forgiving others and doing good deeds before it's too late. So try keeping commandments 1 and 7 at the front of your mind in the next few days. When you come across little injustices, little fiddles, little bits of exploitation next week, in your own little way, try to do things that offer help and comfort to the poor, the oppressed and the downtrodden. For as the prophet Amos reminds us, your Father in heaven will never forget a single thing you have done.